and thank you for joining us for another great edition of Talking Tigs. This is the week before the Super Bowl. So if you're checking in now, you're the diehards, and we love you. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me as always, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zellinger. Got, well, maybe a few things to get into. I mean, LSU basketball is in full swing, men's and women's. We got some scores for you. LSU baseball is about to be. We're 2 weeks away, and we can't wait. Of course, there is a I believe there is one more football game left to go in all of America. It's next week. It's the Super Bowl. We'll probably have some predictions for you. I don't know. A lot of side bets with the Super Bowl. I'm curious to hear what you guys might be looking for. But before we get into that, I want to see how you're doing. I'm doing well. It was weird. Like last week, I had snow. This week, we're outside with – you could do shorts and T-shirts if you wanted to. It's just really crazy. But how are you guys doing?
Doing good. About the same as far as weather goes here. You know, like you said, last couple of weeks, we had snow. Now, you know, it's feels like spring. So, Yeah. But other than that, watching LSU basketball, watched a couple games this week. Still don't look good. Nothing's really changed. And looking forward to baseball starting.
Yep. Got the big game coming up this week in New Orleans, the Super Bowl. So excited about that. I'll actually be flying out of New Orleans on Super Bowl Sunday. So hopefully my travel doesn't get impacted by the big game. But yeah, looking forward to it. Always the crazy bets, what's going to happen. There's always surprises, usually on the field and on the commercials and then just everything surrounded that. So we got the media days this week leading up to it. And then, yeah, we hit the real off season after that, considering that LSU basketball is not super competitive, but thankfully baseball is 2 weeks away. So given our highly ranked Tigers in that regard, gives us something to look forward to at least. But yeah, happy to break this down with y'all.
Yes, and happy to look forward to women's basketball because they seem to handle business. I mean, there is our Achilles heel of South Carolina, but again, didn't stop us 2 years ago. I want to bring you guys to task up front because y'all both like had these derogatory comments to men's basketball, and I don't blame you. It's rightfully earned, but how can you – well, I'll ask you this because – yeah, I mean, we've, lost three in a row, basically. But at least they look good. Well, better than what we've seen before. So in that sense, I mean good against Auburn and Alabama. Looked horrible against Texas, which kind of just goes back to my point. I think it was last week or the week before. It's like, we look good against good teams. We kind of either play up or play way down until we establish ourselves as some sort of – basketball program in the SEC like Tennessee and Auburn have recently done. Meanwhile, Florida and Arkansas have fallen by the wayside, basically. I still don't know what Kentucky's doing, but it's weird because we look atrocious except for when we play the top teams in the country. And then, I don't know, it's like LSU went out to like – they got out to like a 16, like 7 start or something, and then just – that was it. It's like we started – came out of the gate great – you know, and then it was like we held our own against Alabama on the road most of the game, but we just don't have enough to put it away. So again, I'm saying this mostly in jest because you guys are right, we suck. But it's weird how we can seemingly put together somewhat of a good game against the better opponents, and of course that's when Matt McMahon wears his suits. Otherwise, he's in the the athletic department
that coaches athleisure.
Yes, exactly. So it's like he puts on the suits for the games he knows is going to be on TV, but otherwise he's athleisure. So what's your take on both of those segues?
I think that's a good observation. I noticed that actually in the game last night where I was like, wait, he's in a suit. I haven't seen him in a suit before. So that was kind of interesting. Shows you the kind of product we're watching on the field on the court when we're like, concern or noticing the coach's suit. But you know, there's something we gotta find something to pay attention to. I think you're right, Scott. There's some flashes in this team, and like you said, they played Alabama close. I will say, and I think we mentioned it on the last podcast, but Alabama's best player sat out the entire second half, So wasn't exactly, you know, playing a fair fight against one of the top teams of the nation. But then, you know, like you said, played Auburn somewhat close. But man, that Auburn team is they're just good. They've just they've got it going on. It's disappointing. But makes me more excited about baseball coming up.
Yeah, on the suit front, he might be embodying the saying, kind of dress for the job you want, not the job you have right now. He might just be practicing for a potential interview on in LinkedIn or Indeed after this season. So he's just getting warmed up for that one. And yeah, I watched the Auburn game. LSU was up, not by a lot, but by a few points kind of late into the first half. And then all of a sudden, Auburn kind of blitzed us off a few turnovers. And LSU was up, I think, like 24 to 20 or something. And then just like that, it was Auburn, I think, 40 to 26. So they had the ability to score in bunches like that. And LSU just didn't really committed a lot of turnovers, sloppy with the ball, which has been a theme for the last 3 years, basically. And yep. not too much to cheer for. I will give the fans credit. The PMAC did seem pretty full. That was their big push, obviously, with number one Auburn coming to town to get a good fan support. And they showed up, but ultimately the product on the court was not matching. And then after that deflated loss came another crusher against Texas as they came into town and just swamped us. So we're 1-7 in SEC play now. Not much to cheer for. I think at least the women are doing well. They've been cruising since they beat since they lost to South Carolina, with a nice win over Oklahoma this week, scoring 107 points in the process, which is nothing to laugh at. And yeah, they're looking primed for another March run. But the men, we're gonna have to wait till 2026 at least.
Gotta wait till they hire Will Wade again, in my opinion.
Yeah, or I don't know, maybe Matt McMahon just needs to take a cue from Kim Mulkey and just express himself with his wardrobe, stick to something, you know, wear the sequins jackets with like a tiger's face on it. I don't know, something.
That would be something to where it's like, you know, it brings people in, kind of gets the people going.
Right.
I could appreciate that.
Sell the sizzle. Cause I don't know if we can really sell that it's a basket. Again, there are streaks where they did look good, right? It's like if you see Tre'Davious Green blocking a shot.
Oh, yeah.
Take him to the other end and slam dunking it. Yeah, man, that's what you want to see. So I don't know. I guess it remains to be seen. What I suspected was right, that, you know, they can play better against better opponents, but for some reason they just don't play consistently decent. It's like less mediocre or less consistently. Mm-hmm. Oh, well. But like you said, the Lady Tigers have it more figured out. They just got to get past their nemesis, South Carolina, which may happen in the tournament. Remains to be seen. So, like you said, I'm very looking forward to LSU baseball. Some more scrimmages went on this weekend. I would say, you know, there's reports coming out about guys that we've been excited to hear about. You know, Chase Shores throwing in mid-90s consistently. And some of these other guys that we're trying to find a position for, you know, like Milam, should he be second? Should he be shortstop? What to do with Braswell? He did great last year. He's over his injury. All these questions, yep. I think it remains to be seen once we kind of hit the field, which, by the way, Tigers fans, they couldn't have set it up any better for you. They're starting on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Because they love you and they know you love LSU baseball. It's a match made in heaven. Sell out the whole damn weekend. It's against Purdue of, I don't know, some directional.
Purdue Fort Wayne, I believe their mascot.
Yeah, thank you.
Elephants.
Oh, I didn't even know. I didn't know Purdue had a directional school.
But hey, LSU does, right? LSU Alexandria. We got LSU Monroe.
Eunice,
thank you.
Shreveport. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
So, yeah, like baseball. Who's excited? Raise your hand.
I'm excited. An audio medium, but everyone's raising their hands on the Zoom call.
Raising their mouses.
I will say, Scott, so from what I'm hearing, Milam is probably going to be playing on the left side of the infield this year, whether it's short or third. And the other thing I'm excited about, and I've heard a lot about, is this Luis Hernandez, transfer catcher, in from, I think, Indiana. He's supposed to be showing out. you know, that's been a position that we've had. I mean, obviously we had, you know, decent production from like Tayden Travinsky at one point. I mean, Malazzo was a grinder, not necessarily a great bat, but a good defensive catcher. But supposedly Hernandez is supposed to be the real deal, and I'm excited to see him.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how Jay Johnson shuffles around the whole roster. But yeah, that infield with Milam, you got to have him out there. Probably the breakout star for LSU last year. Some people are saying that Michael Braswell, our starting shortstop, he could shift over to third, and then Milam maybe could play shortstop. And we've got transfer Daniel Dickinson from Utah Valley, who was one of our kind of big pickups in the offseason. Yeah. Hit over 50 home runs last year against lesser competition, obviously, but third team preseason All-American, so very high expectations there. And he would kind of more naturally fit into the second base position. And then you have kind of stalwart Jared Jones coming back for his big third year. And he's expected to provide a lot of the power at that first base position. And he improved his defense a little bit as well, stepping in Trey Morgan's shoes after the championship season. So yeah, power and talent across the board, and hoping LSU can make the most of their stars, both old and new, but excited to see them mesh together.
Yes. And just real quick on what you just said, this Daniel Dickinson guy's Utah Valley State transfer. You're like, lesser opponents or whatever. But Milam was a freshman, was on the field, came up big in big games with the bat and the glove. But now we're having to reconsider where we play him because of this Dickinson guy. So how good must he possibly be, right?
You know, it's one of those things where it's like I think it was they talk about when Mikey Matulik kind of came in, and it was like he was too good to keep out of the lineup. You had to find a spot for him. So maybe, you know, it must be something like that. And I think that, you know, with Tommy Tanks exiting, we got that spot to fill at third base. So whether it's moving Braswell over one, I mean, it traditionally that would be a third base would be a little bit of an easier spot to be in the infield. So I'm excited about it. I mean, it's just good to have be able to talk about something that should be competitive.
Yeah. And then we got some outfield spots. We did have we had Stanfield transferring in from Auburn. Supposedly, Josh Pearson's younger brother is making a name for himself. I mean, he's a Pearson, so yeah, he's definitely got some pedigree there, but He's doing well. They had him in some situations on third, and he did come through with the bat. I guess it's not just, you know, replacing guys like Tommy White, but you know, we got guys on the mound too. We know Paul Skeens is long gone, but LSU is still got to have that three-man rotation, right? That elusive three solid starters, because it seemed like we usually had one. Maybe a two, but that third day on Sunday, it was always just a crapshoot, right?
Oh yeah,
because we'd settled into two solid guys last year between Gage Jump and Luke Holman, and both of them are gone to the MLB now, and we were hoping Thatcher Herb would be the third guy, but he didn't really pan out as well. But yeah, so the slate is pretty clean for new guys to step up, which is a little bit scary, and I would say that's like the biggest question mark for us going into the season. But definitely plenty of power arms. You mentioned Shores, and then some newcomers as well, both transfers and freshmen. So I'm sure Johnson will give a lot of people a fair shake at that at the beginning, and just kind of see what pans out, who's got the hot hand before we get into SEC play, because certainly the competition we have at the beginning is not the stiffest and gives you that flexibility.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm excited to you know, maybe get the chance to see a true freshman William Schmidt, who was the phenom out of high school, took his name out of the draft to come back to LSU, but would have gone predicted in the first round. So excited to see if he might be able to you know, provide a spark in the same way that maybe like a Gavin Guidry did as a freshman when we went on the championship run.
Yeah. I think there was a story about that Jay Johnson told at a recent, he did one of those, I think it was a luncheon or a dinner, I forget, at the Rotary Club, where he was talking about that. And I think it was about him and his decision to stay instead of get drafted. And they were talking, you know, the night before, and Jay Johnson's like, you know what, it is what it is. Whether or not you hate that expression, that's where he was at. It's like, whatever happens, happens. I've done all I could. And then that morning he, you know, it's like almost 11. He hadn't heard from him. And then he texted his roommate and he says, hey, you know, how's our boy doing? He's like, I don't know, coach. He's still sleeping. So apparently he hadn't declared he was going to stay at LSU and just, you know, slept through everything. So that tells you it right there. Guys happy to be in Baton Rouge, and it's going to be exciting, right? I mean, LSU baseball does start against Purdue of Fort Wayne, but it'll only work its way up from there. I mean, we're not going to hit the SEC slate until what, probably mid to late March. But we do have some fun games in early March to get us going. But other than that, I think the only thing that supersedes all of this might be the game, the big game next weekend, the Super Bowl, of course. I know you guys have had time to think about your picks, I guess, your side bets, and we know there's going to be plenty, ranging from the Star Spangled Banner to the commercials to, I don't know, yards per punt even. Who knows? But I don't know. It's been a week. Last time we talked about it, I wasn't too excited for the game. I don't know that I'm any that more excited, but at least I'm over the distaste of having the Chiefs in it again, going for the three-peat, which, again, maybe that's good for the sport. But as much as I'd hate for those nasty Philly fans to have another title, I almost want them to rather win it. But where are you guys at this week, since it's literally a week away?
A week away, closing out the football season. I mean, I like, I think if I'm, you know, if I'm betting, I like the Chiefs, but I want the Eagles to win. And I don't think the Chiefs necessarily are going to run away with it. I think the Eagles are going to be able to compete, and I could see them, you know, winning it. But if I had to make a pick, I'm picking the Chiefs.
Yeah. It's a rehash of the Super Bowl from 2 years ago. That Kansas City won in overtime against Philadelphia. So they've played each other close before, and they're probably the two best teams in football right now. Kansas City favored -1.5. So just a slim margin there, according to Vegas. And usually these numbers are honed in pretty sharply with all the attention on the Super Bowl. Obviously, if I had to pick there, I think the Chiefs do get it done and probably cover the spread, maybe a 3-point game. Just seems like they've got the momentum and the magic, and Roger Goodell and the script writers are going to force the three-peat, which I believe has never happened, 3 Super Bowls in a row. And so that would be making history. Everybody will be tuned in to New Orleans to see that. And I just feel like Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid will take care of business there, but definitely still a close game. Hopefully Saquon and the Eagles give them a good run for their money, even though no LSU players will be on the field, unfortunately. And then you're talking about all those other prop bets. Yeah, we got Kendrick Lamar in the halftime show, which should be exciting. He performed a little bit last year, I think, with Eminem. And then people are talking about who's going to join him on the field. People are talking about Eminem and Future, I think, is like the most likely ones. The national anthem, John Batiste singing that one at 120 seconds, 2 minutes. And then the classic Gatorade dump with Purple hitting 2 years in a row. So Purple is the odds on favorite to go 3 in a row, I think at +175. But I might like Clear in that one. Give them some water, a nice clear bath.
I was going to say with the halftime show, he's got to bring on some sort of local, like, hip hop or rapper, right? Like Birdman, Boozy, somebody that bring, you know, the Gat, get the Gat video. But no, but then you said John Baptiste. So that makes sense. He's a, well, New Orleans. Well, yeah, he's a local. He won a Grammy. I mean, give it to
him. The big controversy, though, has been not having Lil Wayne.
Yeah, well, okay. Lil Wayne said he wanted to be the performer, like for the New Orleans Super Bowl halftime. He thought he was going to do it at home, and then so I think he and Kendrick have a little bit of bad blood there. So maybe they make up and he comes out, but not too sure about that one.
Unclear. Unlike Daniel's pick for the the Gatorade.
Exactly. And then all the Taylor Swift circus continues. People are thinking, how many times is Taylor Swift going to get shown on TV? Is it going to be over 10, under 10? Who's going to be the first person shown during the game? Who's going to be the first person thanked in the MVP speech? I think Patrick Mahomes thanks God first every single time. So if you're a betting man, then you might put your money on God.
Right. But I don't know. Do you guys have any, knowing the
it's probably never, it's never a bad bet, to be honest.
No. Knowing the two teams, do you have any like actual football bets that you would say, oh man, if I was going to put something down on something frivolous, I would go with this, like, you know, turnovers or rushing yards for the quarterbacks, because both can throw, both can run. I don't know, or maybe like a pick six or something, anything like that.
I think a prop I might take would be Jalen Hurts to score a touchdown. I don't have odds on that right now, but I think there will probably be a tush push, and and I could see the Eagles scoring that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking on the anytime. I'm trying to look up the anytime touchdown numbers right now, and I'm kind of failing on that. But yeah, Kareem Hunt has scored a touchdown for the Chiefs every single playoff game so far. So he could continue his odds. Let's see. You were talking about Jalen Hurts. He's -110. So basically even money to score a touchdown. I think I might like Patrick Mahomes, a rushing touchdown at +370, about 1-4. Andy Reid could dial up something for him, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm trying to think. One of the big ones they say is like no overtime, no safety. Is like that's what the Joes bet. Like they think overtime and the safeties are going to happen and it doesn't happen. Although the overtime did happen the last time these two teams played in the Super Bowl two years ago.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
So always an exception to the rule.
Mm-hmm. Do you think since this is in New Orleans that they'll do any sort of, I don't know, tribute to the, you know, the playoff game that was there a few weeks ago, like on this, though it's completely separate,
like the tragedy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I think the tribute for New Orleans is really just the ratcheting up the security. I've heard it's going to be the most like secure Super Bowl they've ever done.
I thought you
were about to say, are they going to do a tribute to the lights going out at the last New Orleans Super Bowl?
The Harbaugh.
No, definitely not. I would not bring that back up. Oh, man, no. But anyway, I mean, I think it'll be a good time had by all. It's New Orleans. It's one of the best hosts, the best host city you could have for any game, any event, really.
Yeah.
Anywho, yeah, so I don't know. Now we're here. You say it'll – I think one of you said the Chiefs would cover. I don't know. I think it'll come down to – definitely 10 points or less. I still don't know. I know who I'd want to win. I don't know who I really think would win, because it can be such a toss-up at this point.
Yeah. I'm on Chiefs 27-24. I'll put it out there.
Okay. Tommy, anything yet?
Come back to me. You go first, Scott.
Well, again, since I'm just totally not invested mentally at this point, I would say Eagles, I'll go 31-24.
Okay, you like the Eagles?
But it's like they won because of a defensive touchdown.
I think the Chiefs win. I think they win 35-28, maybe win by a touchdown, but it's like, you know, kind of at the end they have the ball. And gosh, which playoff game was that? AFC championship where you know, kind of went back and forth, and then the Bills had the ball, basically could have tied or could have won, I guess, and took it, and you know, the guy dropped it. So
yeah,
I like the Chiefs, unfortunately, but That's how I see it.
Okay. And this probably could be a prop bet, but I'm really just tossing it out there because stuff we've talked about the last pot or two. Do you think the refereeing will be tight or loose for both teams?
I I think that I don't think there's going to be anything overt like
overtly obvious biased one way.
Yeah, biased towards the Chiefs. That's just me. I know a lot of people have been hating on it. They're saying it's, you know, it's obvious, it's clear. They're trying to throw it for the Chiefs. And I don't know if I can disagree. Like I don't think there's going to be something like just egregious.
All right.
Yeah, I think Goodell probably send the message that they want to keep things pretty clean, but yeah, definitely try not to play too many favorites. Although the stuff favoring the Chiefs definitely, I think, sticks out more in people's minds, just kind of given the narrative about it. Like you see any call go the Chiefs way and they're like, oh, the refs are screwing up the other team, and maybe it's true or not, but there'll probably be some controversial calls. You can't really avoid that in the game of football. But I think it should be, I don't want it to be decided by the officials. Let them settle it on the field.
I agree with both of you. I think it'll be very loose. They don't want this to be made a mockery because of refereeing. Although I think people are so hypersensitive to it now that maybe there, like you said, there would be a missed call because of natural human error, but it'll be blown up into this big thing. Only if it's really like a close game down the line. And they say, oh, see, that was the difference. But honestly, yeah, if it happens in like the second quarter or third quarter, who gives a S, right?
I could see that. I think that everybody, especially social media, Twitter, will be looking for any portion of
looking for it. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're looking for anything they can throw on the refs. But I don't think that's going to cost anybody the game. That's just me.
Right. I concur. All right. I don't know. I think that's all we had, or at least all we prepared for. Do you guys have anything else you wanted to mention?
The only other thing is real quick is they had the Senior Bowl for college football yesterday. Yes. On Saturday. Yes. Had a few LSU players represented there on offense. They're all on the same team. Three linemen, Emory Jones, Miles Frazier, Garrett Dellinger, and then on defense, Sarion Jones, who actually I think had a pretty good game with like two sacks or something. So good reps for them, and hopefully that can boost their draft stock. And then speaking of Tigers, former Tiger Jack Besh was named the Senior Bowl MVP.
Saw that.
Having like 60 plus yards receiving and the game winning touchdown on the very last play. So that was pretty cool for him. And he said he was doing it for his brother who was killed in the New Orleans shooting. So that was very sad. But shout out to him, and definitely helped himself out a lot. So kind of a good twist on the story there.
Definitely. And I think he wore his brother's number because he played too, which going back to, like you said, former Tiger, he was number 7. So you got to see a former Tiger wearing another 7, honoring his brother who passed away in a New Orleans tragedy. So, man, it's crazy how it all comes full circle like that. But, yeah, just the fact that it was perfect play. He was wide open. Good for him. They won it. And he just, man, the whole team just crowded around him. It's like it was meant to be. So that was awesome. And thank you for mentioning that, because I was going to mention that if you didn't, or one of you didn't. But other than that, I think it'll pretty much do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Please tune in next week. We will have the Super Bowl recap, as well as any other LSU basketball scores and any other news that comes down the pike. Until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.